John Active told me about his grandmother, Maggie Lynn, and her storytelling. And she would often improvise in the middle of a traditional Yupik story. All of a sudden, Paul Bunyan was in the middle of it. And Abraham Lincoln. So I think John picked up on her talent for improvising, because he would take a traditional story and improvise on it. But at the same time, one of the things I remember that just shocked the heck out of me is I came across this old archive tape at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, an audio tape of his grandmother telling the story about how the fox became red. I played a little bit of the audio for John so that he could hear the story, and he finished it word for word for word. He loved to work, and he had a problem with alcohol, and he would periodically binge, and but once he got it out of his system, he would come back and just throw himself into his work. And I just was so amazed at his work ethic, and when he had an idea, he could be so intense about it and just work himself up into a frenzy to get this opinion piece done or some story that he did. I just enjoyed his company, and he taught me so much about Yupik culture. As he often said, he wanted to Yupify the world, and he tried hard to Yupify us all and help us understand why subsistence was important and why he loved his language so much. He had relatives everywhere. He had relatives from his adopted family. He had relatives from his birth family. And so just about everywhere he went, he wasn't a stranger. And John would circulate with the drunks that hung out at Swanson. He would circulate with people from Bethel Council on the Arts. He would circulate with the mayors and city council members. He would be a confidant of Native leaders. John was just not a stranger to anybody.
Relate the anecdote when Sarah Palin visited Bethel as governor and she met John.
Well, she was very impressed with him because he translated for her during a talk show. And she had never had an experience like that, where someone would translate your words into Yupik. And I think he did a real service because he kind of taught her, you know, how bilingual the region is.
And John made her an offer. He said, a lot of people come up to you and they want this, they want that service, that service. He said, if you ever need a rest from all of that, give me a call. I'd be happy just to be with you for a while without asking you for some favors.
It sounds like something John would say.
Okay.
But she was charmed by John, as everybody is. I have one really good memory about him coming to visit us when we lived in Bethel. And he had this knack for showing up around dinner time. And he would sit and talk and start a story. And then it's just about the time that the meal was over, he would abruptly get up and you're like, wait, where's the rest of this story you're telling? And he would, another time. But the thing was, is that those stories would go unfinished. There never was another time. And John had that ability to be both a storyteller and a newsman. He didn't separate the line. There was truth in both, which I think is a remarkable trait, that he was able to bring all these truths forward in such a variety of ways. But one memory, I hope you can remember who this was, but there were some CBC broadcasters at a Diane Kaplan gathering, and it was at her home in Eagle River. And I want to say Brian Maracle was one of them. Does that name ring a bell?
Yeah, it does.
But anyway, so all of us reporters are sitting around, asked to identify ourselves, where we work at, what we do. And typically there would be, I'm a reporter at KYUK. I'm a reporter at KMXT in Kodiak. And John was the only one that said, I am a storyteller. And they were just blown away by the fact that somebody would say, I am a storyteller, with such clarity. You remember that, Joan? You were there.
I do remember that.
The one thing I remember about his voice and that I absolutely loved is it was so musical. It would swell, it would rise, it would get soft and whispery. And he had such a command that he could take you places with that voice. I call it magic. And I remember one thing, when he came to visit us in Anchorage, my son at that time was about 8 or 9 years old. And I arranged for John to tell a story to the class. And the teacher, who was very knowledgeable about folklore, said, I've never seen this in my life. This is the real deal. This is how stories were told. And a lot of modern storytellers have a lot of big movements, big voices, a lot of dramatic gestures. And John could incorporate that into his stories too, but he also could be very, very quiet and just hold you there in that quietness of the story. And this teacher said she had never seen anybody do that and hold the kids' attention so completely. She said, he's the real deal. And I think that that is one thing that we as a society, you know, we don't have those storytellers anymore that everybody welcomed to their house and fed because they didn't have TV, they didn't have any entertainment, and the stories were the entertainment for the night. And John gave us a sense of what that time was like with his ability to use his voice, use his words to create images and literally weave a spell around you.